Hey, thank you so much for joining our broadcast and podcast. I am just like so excited. I've been listening to this podcast called Marketing Made Simple with Dr. JJ Peterson, and I just love his podcast. And then I heard him on another podcast I listened to, and I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to reach out and see if he would come on my podcast. And lo and behold, he was like, wrote me back very quickly and said, I'd love to. And so, Dr. Peterson, thank you so much for agreeing to join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be
And
here.
yeah, so you are involved. First of all, you also teach at Vanderbilt University. Is that correct?
I do. I'm an adjunct professor in the Master's of Marketing program at Vanderbilt. Yep.
Okay, great. And then you're also involved with a company called StoryBrand, and I kind of get confused, and I did a little research on that, but is it you and Donald Miller, or is that just StoryBrand, just your company, or?
I work, I mean, Donald Miller owns it all. My
Okay.
technical title is I'm head of StoryBrand. So I kind of
Okay.
run the marketing side of Business Made Simple. So Business Made Simple is really an education platform that helps small businesses grow in kind of a bunch of different areas, really six different areas, kind of their leadership, their sales, their marketing, even finances and management. And then part of that, probably the biggest piece of that is helping companies grow specifically with their marketing. And that's
Okay.
the StoryBrand side. And that's what I'm in charge of. So I do kind of the StoryBrand, the messaging and marketing side, helping small businesses grow.
Okay, great. And I'm telling you have to listen to you have to buy his book, which is Marketing Made Simple. And I have the audio book, and you have to subscribe to his podcast because it's a just a great podcast. So I wanted to talk to you about Story last year. Dr. Peterson, I was president for Missouri Realtors, which is in the realtor organization. We have the National Association of Realtors, and then each state has a realtors and a local. So I was blessed to be president of Missouri Realtors, about 26,000 members. And so every year they're like, okay, what's your theme this year? And I thought, what's my theme? And I love stories. And I thought, why not have the theme, It's Your Story? And I really wanted our members to tell their story about home ownership, about our stories matter so much, and people loved that, and I had so many compliments, and so that's why I've always been such a big fan of yours. But I'm curious, how did you what kind of got you involved with story? I mean, what did one day you were like, I want to pursue
I
this
want to
whole
do
concept?
story.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I feel like my life, if you look back, it looks pretty hodgepodge of all the different things that I've done. Everything from working for a nonprofit. I did public relations for a nonprofit that builds homes in Mexico. And then
Okay.
I did improv comedy for a while. I actually toured and did improv comedy
Okay.
professionally.
Yeah.
I've been a professor. I've been a dean of students in a university. I worked in Hollywood a little bit. I worked for another international nonprofit. I've kind of done, a wide, I was a youth pastor for a little while, and I've kind of done all these things. And what I looked back on as I got older, maybe truthfully, 20, 30 years into my career, I realized then that the through thread of everything was story. It was really teaching story, studying story, producing stories, telling stories in one form or another, whether it was in a nonprofit context of like helping people tell the story of the people we were serving and of the donors, or whether it was on a stage doing comedy, or whether it was in Hollywood creating movies and television. And even when I was a professor of communication. So I was teaching students to tell stories, marketing and speech and debate. And really what it all came down to is one day I was not one day, I was dean of students at a university in Southern California. And I had sold a reality television show to a production company, and I was going to kind of leave the school and go kind of more full time in Hollywood. And as a gift to myself, leaving the school, because I was in charge of, I was dean of students, so in charge of student life, I decided to invite Donald Miller, who is my favorite author, to come in and speak to my students about how to live a great story with your life. So I was just like, I'm going to bring this guy in. I like him. Yeah. I don't know him. I have the budget, and this is a gift to myself. Right. So I did. I brought him in, and he spent some time with my students, the university, teaching them and talking about story and how to actually live a great story with your life. And he and I just began talking, and he said, I am starting this new company called StoryBrand, and I'm kind of going to be helping companies tell their story and invite customers into a story. And he's like, would you be willing to come out to Nashville and go through the process to brand your television show and your kind of new career? And I said, sure. You know, I thought it was great, and I got very excited. But I had no idea what it would eventually become. I flew out to Nashville, and the first time I heard him talk about it, I was in. I was like, everybody in the world needs to know this. Yeah. Because what he really did is I think anybody who is in business or nonprofit or a speaker or a leader, we're always trying to communicate clearly. Like, if you can communicate clearly, it is probably the best thing, best skill you can have, really, I believe, when in leadership and business, marketing, sales, everything, communicating clearly. And what Don really began to show me when he began to teach about how story works is basically the reason why most of us are not understood. It's not because we don't have a compelling story to tell, or we're not even good, quote unquote, communicators, or we're not energetic or likable. It's because we're actually not communicating clearly. And clearly is different than being an entertainer or anything like that. Clarity is all about helping somebody essentially memorize the story that you're telling in a way that moves them to action. That's really the most powerful stories do that. Even if you go all the way back to Aristotle and Plato, Aristotle wrote in Poetics, if you want to move a culture, if you want to change society, the best way to do that is through story. And he began really to break down how story works. And that's been refined over the years. So what Don really came forward and said is, here's the thing. We live in a culture where we receive between 3,000 and 5,000 commercial messages a day. We are bombarded with information all the time. The information that sticks with people is the information that people can understand the clearest and the fastest, really, because we're just so busy and so overwhelmed with everything. So if you, as a leader, as a communicator, as a business owner, can learn to communicate clearly, not even in an entertaining way or a, you know, flashy way, cute, clever, but clear, you're going to win in the market. Because the market does not honor the best products and services. The market honors the brands that communicate the clearest. So what he did then is, once he kind of understand that, he began to say the best way to communicate clearly is through story, the best way to connect with people. And story is based in formula. It's not just trying to be an entertaining storyteller. It's if you understand the rules of story and understand how good stories are told, and then create messaging out of those rules, you are going to win in the marketplace or win in leadership, because you are going to be the clearest communicator in the room.
Makes total sense to me. And I know I heard you on a recent podcast talk about there's seven steps to this formula. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you also offer a workshop in Nashville where business leaders can come in, and I wanted to attend. You just had it last week and I had another commitment, but you offer that periodically. And I definitely want to do that, because I have found in my own business with my real estate school, I was trying to tell people, hey, my school's different in this way and that way. And And then I heard this gentleman talking, and he's done all this research and statistics, and he's like, people today want a different life. And if you're not showing them how they can have a different life or live the life they've always wanted, you're going to miss out on really resonating with them. And so I changed up my whole marketing, and I don't say anything about my school. It's just all about them and the life they want to live. And I have to tell you, my conversion rates have just skyrocketed. But I know I need to implement stories. So I'd love for you to walk us through, as a real estate broker on the real estate side, what's the best way to tell a story, or where do we start with that?
Yeah. So what you've kind of stumbled onto is something that we really teach and preach a lot of, is the idea that as a brand, you are not the hero of your story. So your customer is.
Right.
So when you're creating marketing, you want to communicate how you can help them, but it's really all about their story. And this is why this is important. Our brains are designed to keep us alive. Like, that's really, our brains are designed to keep us alive. And two of the ways that our brains really keep us alive is, the first thing, our brain is always looking for information that help, or situations or context that helps us survive and thrive. Always. We're always looking for it. Tonight, I'm going to go to the SEC basketball tournament, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be in a giant stadium. And I bet I could ask everybody in that stadium the two questions. And I could say, how many people know how many chairs or seats are in this auditorium? And nobody would be able to raise their hand. And if I said, how many people in this entire auditorium know where the exits are? Everybody would be able to raise their hand, right? Because we focus on, our brain just naturally is drawn to information that helps us survive and thrive. The other thing that our brain is doing is that our brain actually, in order to process information, our brain has to burn calories. So we actually have a limited number of thinking calories in our brain at any given moment. And the harder we have to think, the more calories we burn. Well, our brain knows that if we get into an emergency situation, we need calories left to continue making decisions. So if something is hard to think about or confusing, then our brain actually is designed to tune that out. The average person daydreams 30% of the day. That's a survival mechanism, because our brain is literally turning off and go, don't think, this isn't important. So why I say that is, when what in relationship to what you just brought up, which was really powerful, is that if we understand, as real estate agents, as brokers, as people who are, or any business, people who are trying to communicate with somebody, we have to understand their brain is designed to only look for information that helps them survive and thrive, and is done so in such a way that they don't have to burn any calories to understand it. So when you, what you just talked about is, if you are walking in and going, well, here is my story. Man, I came from, my parents did this, and this is my background, and this is, I have 7 kids, and this is my wife, and this is my education. I, as a consumer, have zero idea how that relates to my life and helps me survive and thrive. And so the more you talk about yourself, the more they are actually designed to tune you out. But if you talk about how what you do helps them survive and thrive, have a better life, achieve their goals, now they're perked up. Their brain is literally designed to focus on you and hear what you're saying, because now you've positioned everything you're about to talk about to their survival and thriving. So when you were saying that's why what you were saying was really powerful. When you're saying, the research shows people want a better life, so when I stopped talking about myself and started talking about their life, I saw more engagement. That's because that's exactly how you tell a good story as a brand, is you don't actually tell your story, you tell your customer's story. And this then is how that breaks down. So what are the rules of story? There are 7 elements of story. Basically, there are 7 pieces to every good story. And when I say these, you're going to know them, you know, you're going to recognize them in every kind of movie you've ever seen. So or book you've read. The first one is that you have to have a main character who wants something. So very early on in a book or movie, when you're a good story, we know very early on that this character wants something. They want to win the race. They want to get the guy. They want to get the promotion. They want to defeat the bad guy. They want to rescue their daughter. We know very early on, and really within about 7 minutes of a movie starting, we need to know what that character wants. That gets the story started and makes the audience pay attention. If they want 500 things, we don't pay attention because it's too confusing. But we know very early, this person wants this, and then the movie is really all about, will they get it? We're now hooked on the story. We're paying attention. So that's the first thing. A character needs to want something. The second element of a good story is that character has to encounter a problem. So if there's no problem in the story, it's not a good story, right? That's really very, very key. The strongest hook of the story is the problem. So within about 12 minutes of a movie, a character has to encounter something. So they want to connect with their daughter, and then the problem is their daughter gets kidnapped. You know, It's very like that. And you've seen that movie, obviously, like with Liam Neeson 20 times, or, you know, Luke Skywalker wants to connect with his father, but, you know, ultimately we learn his father is Darth Vader. You know, you kind of like, there's always some kind of problem that happens, and that's the hook of the story. Then the main character meets what we call a guide. The third element of story is that a character meets a guide. Somebody, the main character can't overcome the problem on their own, so they need help. And they meet somebody like Yoda or Obi-Wan Kenobi, somebody, Gandalf in Lord of the Rings, somebody that can help them overcome their problem. And this person has empathy and authority. They've won the day. They're the most powerful character in the story, but they also understand what the hero is going through because they've been through it themselves. Then the fourth element of story is that the guide gives the hero a plan. There is a way for the hero to win the day. So you'll hear that in almost every movie. What's the plan? Or here's the plan. You'll see a plan in every movie because we as an audience need to know that there is a way forward for the hero to win. Then there is a moment where the hero must be called to action. There's actually a moment the hero has to be in or out. They've got where they need to choose to like run at and destroy the bomb or run away from the bomb. They have to act to overcome the problem. And then through the whole story, there are two last sections that are called the stakes, both positive stakes and negative stakes. So success and failure are forecast for the hero throughout the story. So we know as an audience what we're rooting for. We're moving towards hope, that success, what a happy ending looks like. There has to be something the hero can win that we're cheering for. And there also has to be failure or negative stakes in the story that if the hero doesn't win the day, bad things happen, right? The bomb's gonna go off and everybody dies. If there's no tension in the story, if nothing bad can happen, if the hero doesn't act, it's not a good story. But if there's also not hope that the hero can move towards, it's not a good story. So those are the seven elements. A character who wants something, one, two, encounters a problem, three, meets a guide, four, who gives them a plan, five, that calls them to action, and six and seven that results in either success or failure. So that's what every good story that's really meant to reach the masses is designed around those seven elements. And that helps the story stay clear, it helps it stay cohesive, and it helps it stay focused. Now, when you take those principles and apply it to marketing, what you're looking for is really seven talking points that make up your marketing story, which is really your customer story. So you want to identify what is it that your customer wants, and you want to name it very clearly. So they want to buy or sell a home in the greater Nashville area, right? I mean, you just literally want to name that people know this is what I help people do, so they don't have to burn any calories. Then you, as a real estate broker agent, you need to decide what problem specifically do you solve for your customer that they're experiencing. So one of the problems you could bring up is you could say something along the lines of, right now, because there's fewer inventory, there's less inventory on the market, it's right. harder to get into a home. Now, if you just name that problem, what you're actually doing is hooking customers into the story that are feeling and experiencing that same problem. The only reason why people are paying anybody any money for any product or service is because you solve a problem for them. So you need to be able to articulate that problem. And so you want to just say, it could be that, or it could be because interest rates are so high right now, people are experiencing this. Or because, you know, or, you know, it can even be a more broad one, doesn't deal with specifically what's going on in culture right now. You could say something like, so many families outgrow their home and don't know what to do next.
Right.
Right. And so depending on the type of customer you're looking for and the type of brand that you want to put out there, you want to name the specific problem that you solve. And that is also how you differentiate from other people who do the exact same thing as you, right? In essence, everybody in the past 3 years has become a real estate agent or right. thinks they are, you know. Right. Yeah. And so it's a very crowded marketplace. Plus, you're also competing against like Zillow and Redfin and all these other things.
Right.
Well, so how do you differentiate in the market when there's people could get 500 people and they might even hire their cousin who just got their license 6 months ago? The way you differentiate it is by talking about how you solve the problem differently than other people. And by that, you just bring up a problem. So the problem right now is everybody thinks they can get a great deal by buying on Zillow, but in reality, what's going to happen is that creates a lot more problems than they think.
Right.
Now you talk about how you solve it. So that's how you create language around problem. Then you position yourself as a guide with empathy and authority. So you say, I understand, I get it, because I have been in your shoes, but I've helped this many people solve this problem. So I've helped them win the day. Then you give them a plan and you just give them a three-step plan of how you do it. So you show them the way forward. First, we do this. Second, we do this. Third, we do this. Then you have a strong call to action saying either schedule an appointment, fill out this form, something that they need to do to put skin in the game, and then cast a vision for what their life can be like after success. So you're really saying this is what life looks like. You're like, looks like when it gets better because you own a home or sold a home, and then put stakes in the game. So you put a little bit of failure in by mentioning, hey, the longer you wait, the harder it's going to be, or going at it on your own is actually just going to create more problems. You create some language around the stakes or the failure in the story. So that's really all you're doing is you're creating 7 talking points for those 7 different elements of the story. And then you take those, once you have that down and you create that solid, clear story, then what you do is you take those pieces and you put them into your marketing. So you put it to your website, you put it into emails, you put it into your elevator pitch, your social media, and you just stay consistent on that story.
And I guess when you talk about the third one, the guide, you could even use testimonies on 100%. So they can actually be the spokesperson on how you are the guide to help them solve
it. Exactly. Testimonies are part of your authority. And here's a tip for everybody out there in this space. What you're looking for when you're creating testimonies is you want testimonies where people talk specifically about the problem you solved for them. So if you're trying to sell to more people who are upgrading their home, what you want to do is have somebody who you helped upgrade their home. And their testimony should be, we looked for a year to try to find a home that fit our family. I hired John, and John actually helped me in 2 weeks find our dream home. Right. So you name the problem. We'd struggled for a year. Or if you're trying to get people who like really are feeling frustrated by the way the market is right now, The testimony that you want is from somebody who was frustrated by the market, you helped solve the problem, and then what was their life like after? So even in your authority, you want to tell the same story you've been telling in your testimonies, you want to tell the same story you've been telling in your marketing.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Now, one of my big downfalls, JJ, is, I would interview people. What kind of shift to recruiting as a broker, recruiting agents for your team? And sometimes I knew I probably shouldn't hire this person, but I had this compassion for them that, I think they could do good and fit into. How could we use story to make sure we bring the right people that have the same culture? Is there a way to weave this story for hiring people as well, or making sure we're attracting the right people?
Yes. So it's a little bit of, you're using elements of story for this, but maybe not the full story. I mean, you can, but the easiest way is really identifying what are the types of people you want to work for you. And how that comes in from a story perspective is really anybody who is, any good story is about transformation, right? In any story you read, the hero at the beginning of the movie is not the same person as they are at the end. At the beginning, they're overwhelmed, they're confused, they're lost. By the end, they're brave, they're strong, they're bold, right? You know, you can even like in Star Wars see that Luke is kind of just this wandering orphan on a desert planet, and then he becomes a Jedi. We can literally name something else in him. That in story perspective is called aspirational identity. So who does the character want to be when they transform through the story? The way that works in recruiting is by identifying the types of people that that do well in your organization. So naming those characteristics, what are the identities? They are go-getters. They are passionate, they are compassionate, you know, whatever you're kind of, and narrowing that down to really three identities. And in your own mind, as you're creating this, as you're saying, who, when people work with me, this is who they become. And you can talk about how they become that through your story, but really just the basic line is going, when they work with me, this is who I want them to become, and casting that as an aspirational identity. What that does in recruiting is it actually connects you with like-minded people who will be a good fit for you. So when you can articulate that aspirational identity, you'll connect with the right people, hopefully.
I like that. Thank you. That there was one item you were talking about, and I listened to a lot of podcasts, but I'm pretty sure you told the story when you were talking about the calories in the brain and all the information. And I think you told the story about Steve Jobs, who ran a 4-page ad in the New York Times. Then he went to work at Pixlr and learned about story. But I'd love for you to kind of share that story or share a little bit of that.
When Steve Jobs launched their first home computer, they took out a full page ad in the New York Times. And it was this whole thing that really walked through like all of the features and the specs and how much this computer could do and all these things. And just went, I mean, it was a full page on and on and on about all the things about the computer and how cool the computer was, how fast the computer was, how much it could do. And the computer bombed. It did not. I mean, you know, here was this company that at the time was trying to convince everybody that they needed a computer in their home. Nobody had a computer in their home. So he was trying to invite people into a new kind of story. And all he did, he didn't talk about them. He talked about the computer and it completely bombed. He did not understand the power of story. So then he ends up basically getting let go from Apple basically like he leaves Apple and he goes and he ends up working with Pixar. And at the time, Pixar was really just, they had done like a toothpaste commercial. Like they were doing a new type of animation. They weren't who we know today as this animation studio. They actually did, I believe, like tech for doctors and things like that. Well, then they kind of created this small storytelling component side of it with John Lasseter and began, you know, becoming who they are, who we know them today. And Steve was there while all that was happening, while Toy Story was being creative, and began to understand how story works and how story can be so compelling and moving. And he ends up coming back to Apple. And when he comes back to Apple, their entire campaigns switch. So I don't know if you remember the Think Different campaign. The Think Different campaign was that Apple put out there was really, it was Richard Dreyfuss had this voiceover where he was like, we are the creators, the rule breakers, the da 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 da. And they're showing pictures of like Gandhi and Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King and all of these people who are like, inventors and movers, Einstein, movers and shakers, people who changed history in the world. They did not show a single Apple computer or Apple product. They didn't show anything. It's black and white imagery that told a story. And really what it did, again, is invite customers into a story to identify with Apple as their guide. They were basically saying, anybody who feels on the edge and overlooked and has the potential to change the world, but you've been left behind, we are the people. This Apple tribe are the people who are going to move us forward. And you're going to ultimately, I mean, subconsciously, it was use Apple products to do that. But they stopped kind of focusing on the products and they started focusing on the story. And that really is what changed Apple and made it what it is today. Because they are powerful products. And I would argue that when the Apple Watch first came out, they made the exact same mistake. They talked about how cool the watch was, how amazing the watch was, all the amazing things the watch could do. And it did not go well in the beginning. Now, if you see Apple Watch commercials, it's all about how you use it to go running, how you use it to have better health, how you use it. It's all about the customer. And now so many more people I know have Apple Watches. It's doing really well, but it had to switch. And they made the mistake after Steve Jobs left. It really made the mistake of doing Apple Watch, focusing on the watch and not the people. Sorry. And then now they switched it. It's doing better.
Yeah, their last event was so powerful on that watch when they just, if you watched it, but they just had all of these people, the gentleman who was in a trash compactor accidentally, and he was able to call and get out, and all these people who were thanking Tim Cook for the watch. And I thought, man, I haven't been wearing my Apple Watch that much. I probably need to start wearing it. It was very powerful to me.
Yeah.
One of the things on your website, I know your time is valuable, so I want to keep this brief and thank you. This has been very helpful. But one of the things I noticed on your bio from the university is that you debated film at Sundance. Film festivals were on panels for debate. What, when you watch movies like that, is there a part of this process where writers sometimes drop the ball or they fail to execute? I mean, sometimes we watch a movie and they set it up at the beginning so good and there's a problem, but then all of a sudden you just get lost in the rest of the movie. And I was just curious when you watch some of those, because Sundance films, I'm sure, I like those kind of movies because sometimes they take a different path that's kind of unique. Or
yes. Now, here's where I don't want to sound too bad on this, but there is a difference between art and making money.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No.
So there's a couple of things I would say is that, like, most of the movies at Sundance, I would probably say 75% of the movies at Sundance are going to be seen only by a very small audience.
Right.
Right. Because they break the rules and they're more artistic and they're not meant for the masses. They're really meant for a niche audience. You have to pay more close attention to the movie because it breaks the rules. It's a little confusing. It's artsy, right? Art is not bad. But in business, when we're doing communication, you're in business to make money.
Right.
Now, if you want to be in business to be make art with your messaging, fantastic. Break all the rules. That's fine.
Yes.
It will be cute. It will be clever. It will be fun. You as a person may be memorable, but you probably won't make a lot of money.
Right.
And that's what I think of a lot of times when I think of a lot of those movies at Sundance, is their incredible art. They're unbelievable art. They're not good movies in the sense that they're not really designed for the masses. They're right. designed for a niche group of people who want to think deeply and be challenged on, you know, certain things. So, you know, when I'm talking about this formula, what I'm really talking about is the formula for the masses.
Right.
And that's really, it's about clarity, not being cute and clever. And so, yes, some of those at Sundance and indie films and even some European films, they 100% break the rules. Most people don't see them.
But you're right. They're not going to hit the masses. It's funny. Yeah. I never watched Gunsmoke when I was a kid. And I don't know, a couple of months ago, I went by the Inspiration Channel and there was this old black and white Gunsmoke. And my wife said, my dad used to watch those all the time. And we sat there and watched it. Well, now I'm hooked on those, but I'm looking and like, and of course that TV series was on for, I don't know how many years, but they really follow this pattern. And sometimes there's a happy ending at the end of a Gunsmoke, and the black and white ones, sometimes they leave you, you know, you have that success or failure. Sometimes there is, you know, they leave you with the failure, and it's okay because you were, you know, I was entertained and kept engaged the whole time, but interesting.
And they ultimately wrap up, you know, they have a little bit of those. They go back to the happy ending the next
episode. They do. That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, you can't have that in episodic television because you have to maintain some of that tension and keep the crowd. And that's really what when I talk about there has to be failure stakes in the story, is that if we know it, like if we're watching Gunsmoke and we know that every single time it's actually going to be a happy ending and there's nothing really at stake in the story, we begin to get less interested.
Right.
So they have to throw in that there are actual real stakes in this story for it to matter. For us to pay attention. And that's one of the things, like when I'm talking about putting stakes in your story as a marketer, you don't want to say things like, you know, well, if you get the wrong house, you might go bankrupt and die, and then everybody will never will hate you forever.
Right. Yeah.
That's like heavy, heavy stakes.
Right.
But what you do want to do is put some real stakes in the game and say, the reality is, without an agent, you're not going to have access to the best listings. They're going to be gone before you get a chance. And you don't have somebody who has your back to make sure that you're not making a bad deal.
Right.
That's it. That's it. Like, that's just saying stakes in the story. The positive stakes would be like, when you have an agent, you're going to find a house and you're going to, you know, get ahead and you're going to get the life that you want. That's, you want that hope that you're pushing for,
right.
But you also need, if there's nothing at stake, if there's no like, if I don't hire you, nothing bad could happen. That's not a compelling story.
Right.
I'm not motivated to hire you at all, because now I'm just putting, the risk is I give you money and I don't get a result.
Right.
But we need to show people that inaction is actually costing them. They think action costs them. We show them with failure that inaction also costs them as well. And we need to just put that out there in some language and basically say, when you don't hire an agent, here's what you risk.
Right. Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, Dr. Peterson, thank you. This has been just an absolute pleasure. Be sure and check out his podcast, Marketing Made Simple. Subscribe to that and then go over to the website, StoryBrand. You've got some great tools there on the website too. I noticed you have Business Made Simple, which is an online course.
We have some online courses, but if people today are listening to this and going, I would love to begin just kind of experimenting and trying to write some of these talking points for my story or my brand story, we actually have what we call an online brand script. We use a tool called a brand script. It's just kind of a piece of paper that you basically has boxes that you can fill in the talking points for each of these points of story. So if you didn't write them down, you don't have to memorize, they're there, but you can go on there and begin the process of kind of creating your story. And that is at storybrand.com/brandscript, one word. storybrand.com/brandscript. And you can go on there and you can kind of begin creating your own story there and practicing creating those talking points.
Well, that's wonderful. And thank you again. I know I get so much out of listening to your podcast and your wisdom and insight. So you always say different people, a marketing crush or this, and I have to say you're my marketing crush because I love to listen to your podcast and all of your information. So thank you again. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me.